Hey, welcome to the Finance Fam podcast, where we cover finances, faith, family, and freedom. Whether you're in debt or a seasoned investor, we cover all the ways where beating the rat race, thriving in a recession, building wealth for future generations, and living with purpose to ultimately gain freedom and impact the kingdom, however the Lord calls us as believers. My name is Isaiah, and I'm one of the hosts of the show, alongside my good friend Andrew. We're both millennials living typical millennial lives, plus we love Jesus, we love our families, and we love freedom. Everything we cover is for entertainment purposes and should not be considered financial advice. Please don't sue us. Enjoy the show. Thanks.
What's up, guys? Good morning. Welcome to Finance Fam. We got Andrew, we got Isaiah. I'm referring to myself, whatever.
You are indeed Isaiah.
That's me. It's a warm morning here. It's not as cold as the last time we met. I think was 3 weeks ago.
Oh, my.
It was January.
Yeah, I think we were in the single digits or something crazy, right?
In fact, our last episode might have been on a cruise ship.
Now
that I'm thinking about it.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy times.
That was nice.
Man. So a lot's happened since.
Certainly.
Did we announce on the last one what changed for you?
Have you done that yet? I think I
alluded
to a change in career. Yeah. From full-time ministry to something. And so I could announce what I'm doing.
Yeah. Before you do that, let's
drum
set
roll.
The stage.
Yeah, that's right.
Drum roll and set the stage. What we want to talk about today, if you've seen the title of today's episode, is like if you're out of a job, if you don't know what to do, it's something we've been talking about at the gym and stuff is like, hey, Andrew, if you got fired today or if you, you know, needed a job, like what would you do?
Yeah.
And the way that different people process that, the things that they do. I've seen people do it really poorly, see people who are really incredible at networking and finding jobs. We want to talk about that today. We want to hit that head on. But first, you are actually someone who's going through that.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing about this podcast. In about 6 months, I'll be able to definitively tell you whether my strategy of approaching a new job worked or did not. So maybe we could reassess this in 6 months. Let's say, I don't know, July, August. Yeah. So how did the new, because I went into entrepreneurship, which is of
exactly.
course like.
I was going to say, it's different than even pursuing and getting a new job. It's like, no, you're starting your own business.
That is correct.
And so, there's different stakes here.
Absolutely.
Well, let's do a drum roll. What are you now doing?
Yes. I am in life insurance.
Heck yeah.
There it is.
Heck yeah.
And I am still financially coaching. And the reason I went into life insurance is it's the, and I think I said on this podcast before, it's the most critical financial product for a young family with kids.
Yeah.
And it's something I believe in. It's something that people are actively searching for. It's been awesome so far. I've been connecting with a lot of great people in the finance industry. I even talked to a cemetery owner the other week because I wanted to get my mind around like, hey, someone gets a life insurance or death benefit, right? What happens then? And that guy, we could do a whole podcast just on cemeteries.
I'm sure we could.
That'd be an exciting podcast about death.
The industry.
Oh my gosh. The death industry machine.
Yeah. I was going to say something. I forgot what I was going to say. You gave me a really great thought.
Oh.
I can't remember. Oh, I was going to say life insurance in general. Like, we've talked about it many times on this show.
Yeah.
It's obviously something that I believe in as well. I think we had a really profound moment together in season one.
Yeah.
Where I was on the beach with Caleb and he's like, you have kids, you know, life insurance. Like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I just want a second. Like, first off, I'm gonna juice you up. If you don't have life insurance, you're listening to us, we've probably failed you. So please talk to Andrew today because now you have a friend in the life insurance business.
There it is. That's a good catchphrase.
Yeah. Now you
I
got
think
a friend.
I'll steal it. You've got a friend in the
diamond business.
You've got a friend in the life insurance business.
We believe in it.
Yes.
I think order of operations, like it should be part of the financial plan.
Yes.
As you're building wealth, getting out of debt, wherever you're on that journey, life insurance is part of those steps and you can do that. So reach out to Andrew.
100%.
Anything else you want to share on life insurance?
No, that's it for now. We could definitely do deep dives. There's tons I'm learning right now. You know, I'm kind of just sinking my foot into it, but we'll definitely talk about it in days to come.
And last thing I'm going to say, I know we shouldn't be following this rabbit, but I'm going to, is
I love
like,
it.
I was always concerned that life insurance was really expensive or confusing. It's what, 20, 30, 40 bucks a month, depending on your situation, your family, yourself, depending on your age.
Yeah, your age is a big factor. How long your term is a big factor.
Yeah. How much you're being insured.
Totally. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's
so
totally,
if you didn't go to Starbucks, if you cut your Starbucks by like two lattes, three lattes a month, you're safe.
That's it.
Your family's safe.
Yeah.
Is that worth it to you?
Certainly.
I
answered your question with a question. It's certainly worth it.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I hope people reach out to you. And if you don't have life insurance, stop listening to us if you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Love you. But
shots fired.
But if I don't love you, what is it? If I don't tell you the truth, I don't love you. You know.
Oh so. Man, that's good.
I listen to a Francis Chan podcast or sermon, and he opens up the sermon with like, I think some of you are just going to go to hell. Like maybe even half this room. And it was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And that is love.
It's a good way to open it up. Like if every preacher just did that, I think that would set the room in a proper
sober
sobriety. Like life is not a game.
Yeah.
Sunday is not a, I don't know,
a
country club. Church is a place where we.
That feels like a.
Oh man,
a sermon.
No, like
country
seriously,
club church. Yeah.
Seriously, if every single preacher just got up and was like, "Yeah, I think, you know, not casually, but like, hey, some of you guys are going to hell."
Yeah, this is what we're here for.
That's intense. We're here for something serious that has eternal implications. I think that's I don't know, a good reminder. I love that. So Francis Chan tells the group they're going to hell. What then?
It just reminded me, he was like, as your pastor, I'm called to love you. And me loving you is telling you that I'm concerned. If you're not reading the word and praying and fellowshipping with God, if you don't love God more than your job, more than the things you do every day, you got it backwards. You know, it was just like.
That's good. And you read a book by him recently, didn't you? I've got it. I borrowed it from you. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he's just an intense person. But he's also just authentic, real. Like, I think when we were on the cruise ship and I was reading that, I was like, do I need to sell my houses and like move to Africa? Which is like, I think he to chase that down for a second.
Yeah.
but it's worth it.
Any book that, you know, provokes you like that is, you know, that's good.
You got to ask the question. And I think he's great at asking people to ask the question.
Yeah.
So, all right. Enough about that. Anyways, we love you. Get a life insurance. Let's talk about jobs.
Let's do it.
So, there's a number of ways to approach a new job. If you've been fired, let go, if you're just like, I'm bored or I'm unfulfilled, unsatisfied, you want to do something new. We've probably done a couple takes on this in previous episodes. Like I think I mentioned, like in general, I try to, before I do a new venture, maybe try to build up some side freelance stuff that can take over the main thing or whatever. There's so many different ways to do it. You're obviously doing it a different way. Yeah. There's no right way or wrong way. But I think what was interesting the last couple of weeks is we decided, hey, today in 2024, if we lost our jobs, if everything went to crap, what do we do?
That's
and
good.
It was me, you, Peter, I'm not sure, maybe Anthony talked about it as well. But it's a fascinating question. So I'm gonna pass it to you first.
It is.
One, because you're doing it, but then two, you also have advice maybe for other people because you coach people as well. So I'm just curious what your
life
take is.
Life coaching or finance coaching often turns into kind of a life and career coach thing because a lot of times people are in financial state and it's deeper than just finances, right? There's a deep sense of dissatisfaction with their workplace or their job. There's a sense of disillusionment that a lot of people feel towards like the 9-to-5, like wake up, go to work. Oh, thank God it's the weekend. You know, oh no, Monday came and I got to cram, you know, I got to get ready for Monday, like whatever. And also something I've observed, and again, I've been in full-time ministry for 10 years, so I've not been in a 9-to-5. But something I've observed from the outside is sometimes there's not a clock out because we have smartphones too.
Oh, yeah. That's his own sermon.
Right? So it's like, okay, 40-hour work week in the modern world. You know, if you actually tracked your hours that you're available, track the hours that you're on call to get something done. I mean, it goes up there 80, 90, maybe for some people.
Yeah.
And so that's what I've kind of casually observed. And when I hear that, Harry Chapman, I think his name is.
Okay.
The song, is the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. It's basically a song about a dad, you know, that's too busy for his son. It's a heartbreaking song. Oh, and man. I'm just like, it gets me every
Sends
time.
Me.
Yeah, it's good. But that's kind of what I think about when, you know, I observe a lifestyle like that. And so I think that we can all agree that that's not what we want, the workaholism. We want to be hard workers. We want to honor the Lord with our work, but we also want to have the space for what's the most important in our wives, our families, you know, our participation in our community ultimately is more important even than our career, right?
Right.
Or what we do, quote unquote, for the Lord, right? Because everything we do is under the Lord. And I think especially for men, the career is just like, it's so crushing if it's not going the direction that we want. Mm-hmm. It's so joyful and fulfilling when we feel like things are moving and shaking and going in the right direction. And so, I don't know. I forget the question you asked. I'm sorry.
No, it's... Yeah. I think you answered it with...
It was kind of hitting the high mark.
You answered indirectly. It was like, what would you do if you let go of your job? And you're like, well, there's these things you have to consider, which is like fulfillment and what does it mean to work and what is the world currently like and what do they say that we should do?
Yes.
I'm thinking of the other book that I read that I mentioned to you, Garden City, which is like, which by the way, if you don't have, if you feel aimless, you don't feel like you don't have a calling, this book is kind of geared towards that. It's about work and rest, Sabbath, but also like, just the beauty of work and what it means from a theological perspective and in a modern perspective. To your point, it's like, if we're going to spend 100 hours of our week working for the rest of our lives, which I think in some sense, I'm not going to be working at Blueprint doing digital marketing forever, but I will probably be in some aspect working unto the Lord.
Yeah, for the next 30 years, right?
Right.
Just 30.
Just 30. That's and all. Then I'm going to be on a
Give
beach.
It a solid 30 years. There it is.
The point is like, I want to do things that are fulfilling, rewarding, satisfying, that are adding value to the world, to those around me, and that are getting me closer to what I think my goals, my calling from the Lord, the things that I've been placed on this earth to do, born to do, which is hard. I don't think it's ever revealed to everybody, especially myself at any given time. So anyways, right now it's like, if I build wealth, I can do those things. And I think a lot of people are like, well, I'm just trying to build wealth. I'm just trying to get to the next stepping stone to that thing. So,
Yeah. I mean, what you're doing. So practically, if you're fired tomorrow, the first thing I'd say to you, you know, it'll widely range on whether you're single or you're married. There's a lot more pressure on married people with kids than single dude, you know, with some savings, right? So your debt's going to play a factor into it. You know, your life circumstances are.
Risk tolerance.
Yes. And so many people are different, and there's certainly not a one-size-fits-all, but there are a few books that I'd recommend. So the book that actually broke me, and I mean like really broke me, Isaiah, and I don't think I've talked about this publicly yet, it's called The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss.
Oh, dude, yeah.
I read this book, and I didn't finish it. I couldn't. I like actually couldn't. It was emotional. And what he talks about is, I mean, similar to the other book we described, like why are we not doing the things that we love to do? Why are we in a career that is not fulfilling to us? Mm-hmm. You know, and those are the bigger questions, right? Do you align philosophically? This is a good question to ask. Do you align philosophically with the organization that you are a part of, with the corporation that you're a part of? The vision statement, is that a vision statement on their website, or is that a vision statement that they're living out day to day? And so you have to ask yourself, hey, is the organization I'm a part of, is the corporation I'm working for, is it serving the world in a way that, like, can I participate in that vision and feel good?
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
So that's good.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about if your vision isn't big enough for other people to like, for their vision to fit in it, then it just like things break down in a leadership and a guidance and a fulfillment kind of way. It's just, it's really interesting as you were sharing that. That's not what we're talking about, but it's a connection that I made. So if you are single, if you are married in general, I mean, let's say you don't have 3 months of living expenses and you're strapped. What are you doing?
Yeah. What am I doing?
Hypothetically.
All right, here it is. The Proximity Principle by Ken Coleman. Get around other people. This is a book, by the way, and it's a It is an amazing book. And the basic premise is get around people that think like you, that you enjoy. It's not who you, it's not what you do necessarily, but who you do it with. But in a certain way, also find, if you, for example, if you want to be the head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs, first of all, good luck. Kirby Smart's going to be that forever. But if you want
to
be...
He's going to die one day.
No, he's not. Kirby will forever be the coach for the Georgia Bulldogs. But if you want to get into coaching, if you want to get into, I don't know, craftsmanship, woodwork, general contracting, like whatever the thing is that's in your heart to do, don't quit your job immediately, but find some time to hit that up, as we say, from the 5 to 9 off hours. And get closer and closer to the space you want to be in. And how that worked out in my life is, hey, I got around Isaiah Ram and just started talking about finance.
Yeah.
And that's literally, like, I would say that that jump started at least creatively in me, you know, what could I do in the finance space that could make a difference in people's lives? And so for me, that was coaching, financial education, which ultimately that's what this podcast is. It's financial education.
Yeah.
And then, like, I found a product that everyone's searching for, life insurance. I'm like, I'll do that. And obviously, right. My story is not everyone's story. And again, I'll know more in 6 months how, you know, if this was a good idea. I think it is. That's the sense I get. It's God is definitely leading, and it is really, really good. But Isaiah, I will also pass that question to you. If you lost your job today, if you had 3 to 6 months of expenses and you had to start afresh, what would you do?
I think as we're even asking the question, it's like what I'm really seeing it as is, to your point, are you, when you're fired, you have to really like figure it out immediately.
Yes.
You know, like there's no runway there.
Go
but
fry
if you're
some
able
chicken.
To
right. Seriously.
No, seriously. So I think that's the point is that's how it answered is if you are strapped and you are desperate, and desperate can mean a lot of different things to many different people, I think you don't really get the option to choose what you want to do.
Correct.
To be honest. And that's okay. I think there's times to like sacrifice and get dirty and just do it. That said, if you are in that place, you should use that to your advantage and like don't maybe go flip burgers, to be honest. I mean, if that's what you can do, go ahead and do it. Make the $12 an hour, whatever it is. But if you can, I mean, landscaping has always been an option for me. If you're hardworking,
yes,
you can make great money. It's not, yeah, it's a little tough. You're sweating, it's whatever, but you're gonna make way better money than flipping burgers.
Right.
You're gonna be around people who are hustling. Or we talked about being an electrician, being a plumber, like being a plumber probably isn't actually that hard. I'm not trying to say that I'm a plumber, but I'm saying to learn and get that education, it's just like work that no one wants to do, right?
Yeah.
So like I mean, the plumber that I've hired, they'll charge me like $300-$400 an hour. It's crazy. Yeah. What
just
you guys
to come
them.
Out.
Just to come out.
They plumbers even, will charge, I don't know who your plumber is, $175. That's the market average that I've
insane.
Seen. $175 just to have a plumber come out and look at your plumbing issue.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in what Dave Ramsey says, and sorry to interrupt your
your
story here. He said, if you find a way to serve people well, they'll pay you in pieces of paper with presidents on them. That is my one of my favorite Dave Ramsey quotes. I've got a lot of favorite Dave Ramsey quotes. But seriously, a lot of people, and this is more general and philosophical today than like practical, and I think that's a good thing because, you know, we'd get sued. Go do this thing and just do that. We're not saying do that. But philosophically, ask the question instead of how can I make the most money? What can I offer the world? How can I serve my community? If the Lord has called you to Lawrenceville, ask God, how can I serve Lawrenceville? And I'll tell you right now, in the last episode, we talked about just the value of cleaning gutters and downspouts.
Yeah.
I think someone's job, like literally, if there's someone listening right now that just has no clue what to do and they're waiting for someone to say, just find an industry and do it, find gutter cleaning and downspout repair. That right there can save homeowners thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And you can get into it with like very little training, very little knowledge. Like just look at some gutters, look at some downspouts, and that, I don't know, there's people that you could obviously ask around. I'm not saying just do something you're not qualified for, but yeah, it's very simple. That thing in particular, cleaning gutters, is very straightforward. Are the gutters dirty? Yes or no? Yes, clean them. No, no, no need to clean.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that's a valuable thing that you can offer your community. To a similar point as you were saying, like,
if plumbing overwhelms you, if cleaning gutters, you don't know where to start, overwhelms you, I think we were talking about the sauna. Like, we got a bunch of dudes who hang out in the sauna and talk business, and it's like, all of a sudden it becomes a networking event. And I think that's really the key for all the skills I've learned. It's not because I learned them and I'm cool and I'm whatever. It's like, you know, I was around people who were like, dude, what are you doing over there? That's cool. Yeah. That doesn't look very hard. Can you teach me? Do you need help? Can we do this together? Like, I'll work for free. Can you show me? And it's like, I've seen so many guys who have picked up skills in video production, in marketing, in spraying our house. Like, we had a pressure washer guy. He had a little kid out there, and that kid's probably making bank, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like keeping your eyes open, being willing to learn, knowing people, talking to them, having conversations. I don't know. I hope it doesn't come across as like, it feels natural to me to say that. I don't know if it comes across to maybe your audience is like.
Yeah. I think entrepreneurship is kind of what we're describing here as a way out for people that feel trapped. If I could summarize a little bit of what we're saying, I think a lot of shift for people, and that could feel understandably like a really hard shift. I think you and I both have had fathers that were entrepreneurial, or at least people in our lives that did that.
We definitely skew towards that.
Yes. And so for me and you, we're a little bit, I don't know if biased is the right word, but we definitely have had people in our lives that we've looked to. And so that's normal for us. For me, a 9-to-5 is not normal. Just because my dad was, you know, he always said, like, you know, it's so valuable owning your own business. It's so valuable being the boss, being able to have the freedom to, you know, having that negotiating power and having the ability to go and do what you want to do, you know. And there were so many things my dad was able to do because he owned a business. He was able to go and, you know, watch my football games and baseball games growing up and all that stuff. And so, I don't know. I think there's a big, I don't know. There's a lot to entrepreneurship. And I don't think it has to be this thing where you are either in the 9-to-5 or you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah, yep.
You know, totally find a good, stable 9-to-5 with a 401k, like, for sure. What I would say is just make sure it's an organization and a corporation that you can, like, really feel good and sleep well at night knowing that you made the world a better place. And not every organization and corporation is that way. So that's the only thing I'd say about the 9-to-5. Like, totally do that.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it with integrity.
Yeah. And when I even say entrepreneur, I mean, most people probably shouldn't be starting their own business and, like, going solo. It's like, maybe get around the entrepreneur and work for them. And that's, like, that's a level of, most people don't talk about this. Like, I kind of consider myself that way. Like, Nathan is a lot more crazy than I am. Nathan is willing to take a lot more risks than I am. And so it's like, I want to work for someone who's crazy and awesome and is taking the risks and, like, leverage some of that for myself, but not fully dip all my toes in that, you know?
Yeah.
I've heard other business owners talk about that. Like, their partner is really entrepreneurial, but they're like, I'm actually
love it,
really safe, you know? So anyways, just another thing to consider.
To that point, like, get around people who have character traits that either you don't have or you want to get. Like, if you, like, for me, I'm around some courageous people, and I'm learning so much, and people that really care about in finance and also caring about people. That's like a golden goose. Like, that's rare. In finance. I'm not trying to take any shots, okay? Don't hear me saying. but finding people that genuinely care about people and about helping people. And I think you'll be good. But anyway.
Yeah. One thing that I was trying to search for, I couldn't find.
Oh, I've got a Google search engine and ChatGPT.
There's a Chinese, it's not a parable, but there's like a word, and I saw it on Twitter, like, signifies.
Yes.
The
you're helpful to the world.
Cross. Yeah. Your what you do
enjoyment.
Is. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
People want to pay you a ton for it. The world needs it. It's what you're good at. It's like these four quadrants. And when they all align, it's like, oh, of course that's what I'm supposed to do. Like, okay, music. I'm really good at it.
Yep.
The world doesn't necessarily need it.
Okay. I disagree with that, Isaiah.
I'm just saying.
The world needs your voice. You're a voice to the generation, as they say.
Thank you. But then, I don't know, SEO, like the world needs it, blah, 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 businesses need it, I'm good at it, whatever. That's like, well, that's a reasonable skill.
I want to find this. It's so good. So it's the four quadrants of something, right?
Yeah. I think the word is like, inagami, ingami. I'm seeing the word in my head. Inaga.
Yes.
Maybe I'm way off there. While you're searching for that, a couple other practical things. So again, going back to if I lost my job tomorrow, I'm learning a trade. I'm calling up business owners, landscapers. Maybe you're driving around your neighborhood and you find a landscape company, because these guys, I know, my dad's in this business. They need help. Like, there are so many quick ways to make some cash. And honestly, I know I was hating on the flipping burgers, but like Chipotle, I think it's higher than like $15 an hour.
Yes.
They pay for your college.
And you're doing great work.
You're doing great. You get good food.
You're serving the community.
Yeah. It's fulfilling. Honestly, again, read John Mark Comer, Garden City. It's valuable. So again, if you find yourself, you need something immediately, like, shoot, there are plenty of options.
Yep. All right. I'm literally Googling the four quadrants approach to satisfaction. I think I've got it.
Okay.
Nope, I don't. Disappointing.
Sorry.
I know what you're talking about though.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the four quadrants. One, it's useful and important to the world.
Very
Two,
valuable, yeah.
It pays well. Three, it's something you personally enjoy.
Yeah, I can't remember what the fourth one is.
Yeah, but that's great advice right there. If you got three of the four, that's pretty good.
Yeah. And again, if you're like, I think John Mark also, I'm going to keep blasting him because I love his stuff. I think he also talks about it in his book. Like, what are you good at? Think about it. Write it down.
Yeah.
What are people willing to, like, yeah, anyways.
Oh, I think that's it. Good at it. You also have to be good at it. It's not enough just to enjoy
it. You have to be skilled. What are you good at? What do you love? Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, because you could be good at it. It could serve the world.
But if you don't love it.
Yeah. Or you love it, but it's not, you're not good at it. Someone will tell you, well, you're fired.
Yeah.
And then you just do it all over again.
The cycle begins.
The cycle begins once again. So.
What other ways should people be making money that we're not talking about or considering?
Like practical?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really believe that one of the best things is getting water in a home where it's supposed to go.
Mm.
I think that, for me, is a way a homeowner can save the most money, and I'll keep going down that train until people listen to me. But getting water where it's supposed to go is
specifically
a good thing.
Around...
Yeah, around
property.
The house. Yeah, around
grading.
The house. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Grading. I paid someone, what was the word you used last time? Bukus of money?
Bukus. That's my word.
I paid someone bukus of money to grade my backyard and to put a drainage system in that's going to last hopefully forever. And so that, I mean, that's kind of thing. And that falls kind of into landscaping too. But yeah, I mean, that's what I'd say. Practically, like, that's a really good skill, trade. That can be really useful, really satisfying, really enjoying. Because what's more enjoyable than someone saying, oh dear, than someone telling you, all right, you get handed a bunch of cash and they're also like, thank you.
Yeah.
That's satisfying.
It is.
That's really a big deal.
And for those of you, I feel like I'm hearing people, I'm thinking of these people, I'm imagining them and they're like looking at me, like their hands are crossed and like, Isaiah, I don't want to work hard. In the sense of, I don't want to do physical labor. I want to use my mind. I want to be strategic. That's beautiful. That's great. I think you want to work your way to that as I don't know, as it allows you. Or maybe we need to say, like, go build a skill.
I'll just say get into finance if that's you. Give me a call.
Use that mind. Do we want to talk about digital and other aspects? If I got fired tomorrow, I'm like doing labor. I just know I can make great money.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people need in a crisis.
Yeah.
Like if you are getting ejected from a job, the what doesn't really matter. It's just getting something moving.
Yeah.
And so to your point, like find a landscaping company, do it yourself, like whatever, yeah. Hustle, hustle, hustle.
I think if you're to maybe get away from physical labor, I personally think that marketing and sales, out of all the business that I've worked at, like those things, that is like, that's where business happens, man. Like
yeah.
If you can sell the product or the service to somebody, or if you can make that business more visible to the world so that they're making more money,
yeah,
that's a good thing. That's you know? Good. So if you're good on the phone, if you're good at talking to people, if you're good at persuading people ethically, morally,
always
you believe
ethical.
In your product.
Yeah, it's very important.
Yeah, I feel like you're laughing. Is it a sales or is it about the sauna?
It's about
our
the
session
sauna.
Sauna. The sauna
the
is
sauna
just
is
a magical place.
Where business goes down in the sauna.
Deals get closed in the sauna.
We met a, what was it, crypto?
Crypto influencer.
Crypto influencer. Just chilling in the sauna.
Yeah.
What did he say to you? He was like.
To be fair.
Yeah.
He was an influencer because of how many followers he had, not because of how much money he had. Okay. He was coming to us for financial advice.
But how do you get followers, Isaiah?
I don't know. I have no followers. So to be fair, he had like 30,000 followers and he would promote cryptos on his page and they would pay him, which is like actually kind of scary if you think about the people that are promoting crypto coins that these companies are paying you to promote.
Interesting.
Don't invest in crypto. Anyways, he would do that. He was an influencer.
Cool.
He was chilling in the sauna.
There you go.
How else would be in the sauna? I feel like if you got to go meet people, the gym is a great place. Like people are working out at like
yeah, the people that
11
work
11 a.m. without a job.
Focused people. Yeah.
Yeah. They got businesses or they got whatever. It's they're true. Running Turo fleets. They're doing passive stuff, you know.
That's right.
So Turo was something I was telling. I feel like this is.
Go for
maybe
it.
Don't do this.
Go for it.
You shouldn't do this if
do
you
it.
Get fired from your job. But
finance a car and get Turo, right?
I was is at a party. I was at a yeah. party this week, and an individual who has been a little aimless in life, which is totally fine. We're all aimless at some point, but has kept being in the cycle. They were commenting on Turo for me. They're like, well, I don't have the capital to buy cars like you are and finance them. And it's a little risky, which is totally true. Everything they said is true. I wouldn't recommend it for most people. But I was like, there are also deals. And this is just my Turo world. There are deals and whatever flipping and being Gary Vee and like all these other micro yeah. niches where you can make quick money. I'm like, you can buy, what car was it? It was like a Dodge Durango for under $4,000. That can be on Turo, cash flowing like 40, 50 bucks a day.
There
four
you
grand.
Go.
Like,
yeah, we should do a
how
whole episode just on
you?
Cars and on Turo.
Yeah.
That'd be
I would love to.
I'd
I would love
that.
To.
Yeah.
And that is just one example of thousands of little things that if you just get creative and you think through a business model, again, we're leaning so heavily entrepreneurial,
yes.
which is a bummer. Sorry. It's just the nature of the show because of who we are. But there's ways to make money. There's ways to get creative. There's yeah. ways to make it happen. So.
Absolutely. Yep. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of Finance Fam. This has been a great conversation.
I hope it wasn't impractical. I hope it wasn't a bunch of...
It was philosophical, which yeah, I think is yeah. what you need. You know, I think practically, I think it's if you're in an emergency situation, get a job, doesn't matter what it is, one. Yeah. Two, sometimes just find individuals... to
network.
Be around, to network to the right person, not who you do business with, it's who you do it with, right? Or not what you do, it's who you do it with. I've heard that said. I think that's a good tool.
That is, yeah.
And then proximity principle. Be around things you enjoy. Case in point, finance. I got around finance. I found a product that I'm like super excited and stoked to sell every single day. And so those are three kind of ways and practical things for people to keep in mind if you've lost your job, if you're looking.
Yeah.
So.
And then if you're trying to make the transition, you're already in a job that you're not happy with. I think we talked about
yeah.
the Chinese word, whatever it is.
Yeah. Send your resumes out. If you're dissatisfied, just yeah. go out there, send yeah. your resumes. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah. Set our side hustle.
Let's do it.
Sweet.
Cool.
Anything else you want to hit?
That's it.
Awesome, guys. It's been a blast.
Yeah.
Remember.
Don't look back.
Look ahead, baby.